Friends, welcome to The Schvitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job. And as always, I'm here with Jack at Jack Not John and Vic at VWeb. Today, we're going to be talking about the MLB World Series. It is upon us, folks. Speaking of upon us, the NBA. Thank God. You guys want to jump in here quickly? I know we got some more things to introduce, but how excited are we that the NBA is back?
I'm super pumped. I mean, although as a Knicks fan, I know I'm heading into another dreadful year. You know, my calendar, as always, wide open come April, wide open May, June. A lot of golf to be played at the end of the NBA season for me, but I'm super pumped. Tuesday, I'm looking forward. We got Pelicans, Raptors, Lakers, Clippers. Very excited. Hopefully we make it out to the Knicks home opener against the Celtics. But tell me, did Johnny hook it up?
Yeah, it's pretty juicy. Hopefully we'll be there. We've also got some college football week 8. We're going to be talking about some spread pick'ems. Also, because the NBA's here, we got more things to tell you guys to bet on. Maybe you're winning, maybe you're losing. To be honest, we're not really keeping track, which we should probably be doing.
I have to update the tally. I think Jack and I are doing well from this week's NFL picks.
I'm not doing that great. Is that what it is?
It's good that we haven't included my Miami Hurricane picks.
Are you trying to tell me? By the way,
I don't want to talk about it. This is
we don't have to talk about it. Don't even. It's not about you. This is about Vegas. How much money are they losing? People have to be thinking the Miami Hurricanes suck dick. They're plus 1,000 again on the money line.
It's the same seemingly rehearsed line. I always suck dick. They suck dick.
They don't.
What else do they suck?
Minus 18.
By the way, you didn't even go to Miami, and you can't get off them.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
He's a big fan.
I'm a big fan.
Well, two out of the last 3 weeks, they've been.
Cover the spread. We can't even fucking win.
Plus 20 and plus 28.
Some of the most exciting games.
Losers. Anything you guys want to talk about before we jump in? Anything really?
How was your golf round?
Oh, my golf
you
round.
You and I played ball. That was fun. We got a good schvitz in.
Oh, my God.
Ben and I were barking a bit with the other team.
Thank you for bringing that up.
4-1.
We did.
Ben was barking with some... Ben has a little rug burn. By the way, it's getting worse.
Yeah. This motherfucker.
Are you sure it's not like a snake bite?
This motherfucker that we were playing against looks like a rug burn
almost.
Yeah, I said but it's only gotten worse.
It was
so I feel more
like you're playing on AstroTurf.
Vic, you're gonna be furious. The kid we're playing against, guess what he was wearing?
It was one of two things. It must have been either a hat.
Oh, by the way, I like that.
That's
call.
A good call. You know that bothers me. But
or
no.
Was it? I mean, that should bother everybody. No person should ever play basketball.
We actually used
it's
to
much,
play
it's much
hat.
Worse.
We used to have that morning run where
was
a kid
it,
would play with a basketball.
Was it like something like a collared shirt? Like
nope.
Almost like a polo?
Ooh, I don't
ready
like
for
that
this?
Call because
a short-sleeve hoodie.
Yeah, you short see,
hoodie.
I just like, who do you think
did
you
he have
are?
A hood on?
Who does he think he is? He shot from his chest. He kept setting illegal screens. So I pushed him back a little. There was some barking. We happen to be playing against a team of incredibly short people.
Yeah, by short he means young.
No, but well, they're young and short. That last game though, that guy with the short sleeve hoodie really grinded my gears.
Oh, yeah.
We had a nice day.
We went 4-1.
We played
that was
well.
Good. Then we grabbed a nice brunch. But you played golf. How'd you shoot?
I shot pretty
you
well.
You would have texted me if you played better.
No, I know that. The thing is,
you'd have been like, bro, just shot a fucking 92.
Greatest round of my life.
By the way, so you have a nice.
That is definitely true. But when you play golf for money, and when you play with Elliot, you always play for money, and then it becomes hole by hole, and you stop keeping track. So I won a couple of
how
holes.
Many people played?
12. No, 4 people.
Oh, because I then heard it was only 2 of you, and then
no, it was the 2 of us, and then 2 of their two of his friends. And
did
it was
I know any of them?
I don't think so. Really? I don't think so. Yeah, Victor knows a couple of them, but it was a good.
Oh, no, you know them.
He does.
He knows.
Oh, okay. He knows. Okay.
All right. Cool. 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 Cool.
Well, we could talk about these guys all day, but we have a World Series to get to. My God, last night. Let me just quickly set the stage, and then we'll dive in. Heartbreak. It doesn't even really come close. Yankees are down 4-2. LeMahieu up at the plate. Runner on first. It's gone! 4-4.
No, it wasn't an instant just gone. It was like 3 seconds.
Bat.
No, forget about that. The actual hit.
He almost robbed
it. You didn't
it.
Know. Yeah. And then, I mean, first of all, if that
LeMahieu
was judged, he would have
no
had
tips
it.
On that.
That was insane. No, I think everybody had the same reaction. We're watching in Jack's Brothers Bar and everyone's tackling each other on the ground. People are screaming like, we got this. We got this.
And then
the biggest roller coaster wave happens.
And then we go to the bottom of the ninth. That's what happens when you're the home team. You have a chance to walk off with no rebuttal. And what happens?
Exactly that. I'm still grieving, to be honest with you. I almost have a moment of silence.
Chapman has to throw an 85-mile-per-hour slider. The guy throws 102 in his sleep. Just gas it.
It looked like it was left a little high. I mean, it was so perfect. Two outs. I mean, maybe he just got sloppy. It's like two outs. I mean, even though it's Altuve, like, I'm about to wrap this up, and we'll just go to extras where he probably won't pitch because how Boone's been putting guys out there. I mean, he's like, this is my, I'm about to finish the job, and then somebody else will go.
You think at the end of game four there's any chance after the Yankees were down 3-1 that Aroldis Chapman just booked a vacation, maybe to Hawaii, thought no chance he plays in a game seven, just wanted to get out of there.
Hell kind of conspiracy theory
is that?
I definitely
do not think that.
I came in my flight bag a week or so.
But Ben,
that was a meatball.
Ben thinks he mailed it in with the meatball. But yeah, I mean, stage is set. It is what it is. Houston's moving on, and they got the Nats. And neither of us called this, but we all did say the Nats.
We did love the Nats.
We loved the Nats. We also, like, if we weren't diehard Yankee fans, we would have called the Astros. We kept saying, like, the Yankees are going to win, but the Astros pitching is amazing. And it came down to pitching. But obviously.
Well, it came down to, I mean, the runners on base was.
Yes.
Wait, I mean, how many times you had bases loaded or at least two guys on, and they were always that one hit away. They could never get the job done. And it's made me hate Astros and the entire city of Houston.
And that leads to a very important question. With the Red Sox sort of being in a weird time in the franchise there, of course, still good, and the rivalry is very much there. We seem to be meeting these Astros at pivotal points in the year after year. Is this now our most heated rival? Are Yankees and Astros fans supposed to hate each other?
Well, definitely. They're supposed to hate each other. I mean, you know, 2015, we lose. That was when they first started doing that one-game wild card.
I was there, yeah.
One of the worst games ever, 2-0. That was in, like, the coming of Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah,
like,
that's
you can't figure this guy out. We lose that one game.
You
it's
and
like,
your elephant brain.
Wow, this wild card sucks. Fun. 2 years ago, it goes 7 games after we took all 3 at home. Like, so demoralized. Now you have this. I mean, I literally looked at someone last night. I mean, in retrospect, I didn't mean this. But my instant knee-jerk reaction was, forget Boston. I cannot stand the Houston Astros. Obviously, the Boston, there's 100 years of history there. It's impossible to say that it's, you know, the biggest rival we have. But Houston's now, it's getting there. And they have a team. It looks like they're going to keep together. If they're smart, they'll figure a way to do it. I think Nolan Ryan will figure that out. But, you know, the Yankees, we all know our guys are young. So we're not really going anywhere. And as long as Jose Altuve is over there and Bregman and Springer, and if they can keep all their pitching there, like, we're just going to keep hating the Astros.
We need to steal a couple of those pitchers. We need to pull a classic Yankee move and just snag Garrett Cole, because this starting pitching rotation is just
how is it always
just
Altuve?
Not, I just not good.
Jack literally looked at me. I think you didn't see who was up. There were a ton of people there.
I think I was reaching
and, like, it was
for
tough
something
to see the TV.
Or telling a joke to someone.
And I walked by, and Jack was like, well, who was it? And I literally just go, who else? And you're like, Altuve? I'm like, yup. And, like, that's why I laughed, the same way I think Chapman laughed. It was like, you just got beat by the one guy that probably could have taken you to this. Like, there are a few guys you can hit off Chapman if it was going to be anybody. It was Altuve.
He knew that pitch was coming. He was all over it and smoked it. It wasn't even close.
Yeah,
we can
that.
Grieve.
Right on impact.
I'm going to be grieving for at least, I don't even know.
It was literally out of a movie. I mean,
going to be grieving until RJ Barrett drops 30 in a regular season.
By the way, not to be a dick, but I've grieved enough. I'm ready. I've grieved.
You didn't even have a knee-jerk reaction.
I'm done grieving.
So then we don't have to grieve anymore. We can move on.
Well, we'll spare our listeners.
Astros, Nats, World Series.
Come on, Nets. We're going to TC, baby.
Set up. No guy in the world, he claims he's not upset. He claims he wishes them the best. No guy is more upset than Bryce Harper right now. There's no question.
I'll give you 300 million reasons why.
Yeah.
He's not really that
I don't think he gives a shit.
300 million.
Like, yeah, he doesn't look great right now. Like, optics, they're in the World
and
Series.
And because of what he said.
Bryce
he's
Harper.
Like, we're bringing one here, yeah. Baby.
I mean, put a cork in it, Bryce.
Yeah. Got it. He's got his whole day, foot and sneaker in his mouth.
He's living
right
and wherever he wants, fucking whoever he wants. I mean, the guy's killing it.
He kills it.
Like, fucking murder. is it? He's our age, and he is our...
Yeah, he just...
You think he's really sitting there like, shucks?
No, I mean, I guess if he doesn't want to win, then he's... Yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah,
he doesn't have to win.
He doesn't have to... It depends on the type of player. It depends on the type of player. If you're a winner, then you'd care.
He does strike me as a guy who does, like... He's super emotional, and I don't think, you know, it's just like... To get the contract, you saw this year, he was super emotional, and I think he's definitely taking it hard, and he's going to come back better than ever next year.
So which one is it?
I think he doesn't give a shit, really, but he's not a guy who doesn't care about winning.
Got it. I definitely think he cares. I think he cares, and he's upset, and he's going to be pounding the Astros because he really wants them to win.
$300 million on the Astros.
I was going to say, but he'd need to lay a nice minus 220 juice. I don't think that I've seen... A heavier fate, like
for a series price,
the World Series. Like,
I think so. I'm interested to know what it was last year because everybody knew that the Red Sox or the Astros were just going to whiz by the Dodgers. I mean, granted, when the Astros played the Dodgers 2 years ago, it was 7 games. I'm sure that one was probably a bit even match, but I don't know. This Astros team, you know, we spoke about all the time what we feared, and forget about the pitching and just the batting. The 1-9, they got so many guys that can. Take the ball. I mean, Reddick, who bats ninth for them, was one of the key players in the series. So I think it's an appropriate line. I didn't really expect it just because of how the Nats handled the Cardinals. If they had gone like 7 games with the Cardinals, this would have made more sense to me. But sweeping the Cardinals and beating the Dodgers the way they did and beating, you know, whatever.
But it's still the wild card right. team. I think that's playing a factor. This is still a team that had to battle that extra game to get into the playoffs. So
100%.
And now they're playing against... You know, the favorite going into the playoffs, the team with the best record throughout the regular season. Like,
for sure.
It's heavy, but.
And that's why it looks like this. But starting pitching gives you a chance, and they have just as good starting pitching.
I mean, we can start there. Let's start with pitching.
We should start with pitching. I mean, I think the first game would probably be Scherzer v. Cole.
Oof.
I don't even know who you give the advantage.
Just park it for that one. That's going to be your good old-fashioned duel. If we're lucky, if these hitters don't go crazy.
No, but I mean, that's
and it doesn't stop there. Who would be next? Would it be Verlander, Strasburg?
Yeah.
who's the third, like...
Annabelle Sanchez, who has been amazing.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, you love saying she. Or it's also mother of three. We say Annabelle. Yeah.
Annabelle. It's a hard A. It's no, a hard Annabelle. A. No, his name's got a hard on.
Annabelle.
No, Ben, you're American.
Annabelle.
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 V. Granke.
You say V. Granke. That would be great.
I'm saying if pitching allows you to stay in games, if your pitcher can go 6-7 runs, all you got to do is catch, like Verlander, you can hit a home run off Verlander. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to score like runs in bulk, but anybody can throw one bad pitch that you saw it with Chapman.
Right.
So this series is just very, very interesting to me. Who do you guys have winning this series?
The series, I mean, I'm rooting for the Nats. I've loved Strasburg for a long time. And
the phenom, right?
Yeah,
he was like the phenom forever.
He's a guy like you want to see him get a ring. He's gonna go down as one of the greatest pitchers of all time. I know Verlander. Well, Verlander's gotten his fair share of rings. And you know, at the end of the day, like I really hate the Astros, so I do not want them to win.
But who do you think?
I think that they will get it done, and we're looking at a new dynasty here in Houston.
And why?
And what, why? Like
what? In, like what advantages do they have?
Most,
what do you see
at the end? I'm seeing experience. It's really just there. You know, a lot of these guys haven't gotten there, but you know, for the hitting battle, I just think the Astros easily have the hitting battle. I know the Nats have good guys, and you got like Zimmerman, Rendon. I think they can get it done, but it's the experience is going to outweigh everything. And AJ Hinch has been there before, so he knows exactly what he's dealing with. They're going to have no jitters. They're not going to be as nervous as I think the Nats will be. And I think there's a lot of pressure on the Nats now, especially because they got there without Harper. But they will be playing loose and fast, but I can't remember the last time DC really had like a playoff team. I mean, the Redskins, what they won in like the 80s or the 90s. The Wizards with the Washington Bullets when they won a title.
Which later we got to talk about Bradley Beal.
I mean, they
contract.
Do have the Capitals. They have the Capitals for hockey. They have a taste of what Title Town can look like. But hey, you know, the Nats, the team that could never make like the leap.
But to me, it's the Astros 100%. I mean, you got this three-headed monster. Since game two in Houston when they stole one against the Yankees this past series, I mean, the entire series was just dominated by Houston. We all knew the Yankees were going to lose at that. But once we lost game three, we're like, holy
shit.
Didn't
feel
then game
good.
Four, we're like, what the fuck is happening? I mean, they could beat you at pitching. Then they got the bat. I mean, Altuve's always the best guy on the field. I just think they're rolling right now. And as you said, AJ Hinch, been there before. He warned Yankee fans the other day. He's like, don't throw anything or else I'm ripping my team right off the field. I just think that takes balls. This guy's got big balls, and you need balls to win the World Series.
He's so got balls. You also need Houston balls to play baseball.
Houston has balls. Whoa.
You need balls.
Whoa.
That you need balls
sexist,
to play
baseball. Huh?
Yeah, the nice white baseball. Nice baseball. I have
good
the
stitching.
Nationals.
Really nice tight stitching.
You have the good stitching.
I have the Nationals.
Really? Wow, the upset pick.
I have the Nationals winning the series because I think that this is the most even starting pitching matchup that the Astros could possibly see. The Nationals are smoking hot. The Cardinals had so much experience. Arguably, that team had just as much experience in the postseason. Granted, it's older, but as the Astros or as the Yankees, these guys have been there before, mm-hmm. and they made them look incredibly silly. They just hit when they needed to hit. They jumped out on them early. Their pitching clamped down. To your point, this is the first time they've been, is it in the World Series in how long?
I can't remember.
Well, they used to be the Expos, yeah. So the Expos never made it.
I don't think
in a long time. So this is going to be a ruckus crowd that's primed for a parade, and they just, what did I say?
ruckus. Question for you.
Well, hopefully they can make it
question,
ruckus.
Question for you, though. Sometimes we see where, like, a team either sweeps the series before or, like, takes it to five games.
Look at the Yankees.
Where that extra rest makes them a little lethargic coming out of the gate. How you have the Nats taking it, so how do you see them coming out of the gate? Do you think they're going to come energized, or do you think
the first two games are in Houston, they haven't
played in like a week? Do you think it's going to take them a minute? You know, jitters. This team hasn't been there before. Do you think after a week of no baseball for the Nationals, they're going to be a bit slow out of the gate?
I think they take game one. I think that this starts similarly to the Yankee series. I think that it's you have plenty of time off. You're game planning for this team. The Astros just came off of a real emotional high, and I think that they're primed for a letdown game one, and it's all on the Nationals. Can you win at home? The Yankees could not win the games at home that they needed to win. The Yankees had that series. They didn't get it done. And I think that, and I hope and think that the Nationals.
Remember when the All-Star game used to decide home field advantage
insanity.
For the World Series? So I think that's actually the one thing that would help. If I could just add one more point about the series, if you still have something to look for. You just saw in D.C.
I thought they still did that.
In the Redskins 49ers game this week, the rain was absurd.
Yeah.
And it's going to be cold. It's going to be wet. It's sort of, we had a few of those games here in New York. You know, maybe Houston, they're leaving their nice little town of 70, 80 degrees, and they've got a dome and they can control what weather they have. But you say you're playing D.C. on like a cold night. I don't know. You could get some nice home field advantage there. Although it didn't really seem to affect when they came to New York. But I'm just saying, it's another factor. As you get more in October, it does get colder down there.
Good call, Weatherman.
Thanks. I'm actually a meteorologist.
It's a meteorologist, okay. Larry.
Excuse me, Dr. Joe Sobel.
Is that his name? What was his name from the taxi? And now meteorologist, Dr. Joe. No?
Isn't it Sam Champion?
No. Isn't it Mr. G, the weatherman?
What are you watching?
Isn't he on New York One?
Isn't it you're watching what? New York One?
You know when you turn on cable, the first channel's New York
Mr.
One.
Mr. G?
Well. Well, there's also the NBA starting this week. Opening night, Tuesday, right?
Tuesday, baby.
We have a couple of great games.
Taco Tuesday!
And that motherfucker's playing the second game.
You think they're going to now start serving tacos? Yeah, like a taco stand in a stable center.
Did you hear that he tried to trademark Taco Tuesday?
Like, good luck. Taco Tuesday's been around.
Taco Tuesday?
He's been around since,
LeBron James,
like,
did not make Taco Tuesday.
He supports communist China. He hates freedom of speech. He's anti the First Amendment. Fuck this guy.
I'm
never having a taco ever again.
It's pretty unbelievable.
Especially not on Tuesdays.
I did tell you I was planning on getting tacos.
Not on Tuesdays. Beginning with the first game, though. Pelicans at the Raptors. The Raptors are a 7-point favorite in this game.
In Toronto, right?
In Toronto.
Is it ring night?
It's got to be. Yeah.
It's ring night.
Six vibes.
And Zion's out for, quote-unquote, a period of weeks.
Whatever that means.
Which could mean 2 months, could mean
2 years.
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
2 years to 104
weeks. A period
weeks.
Of weeks.
I think it has been upgraded since initially reported that he would be out. So I think it is going to be probably a month, which has everything in my mind. You know, the landscape of the NBA has changed with his arrival, and it's now changed with him being sidelined for a bit.
Yes.
So, I made a little bit of a bracket. I had them in the playoffs with a healthy Zion. I can't imagine this is an injury that he's just dealing with, and it goes away forever, and he's healed because He just dealt with it in February back at Duke. So I think this is something we're going to see from Zion for years to come. And I have them missing the playoffs right now.
I fear a sort of – like, we're not there yet. But when I first saw this, I immediately started thinking the Blake Griffin first year in the NBA where it was supposed to be – he was out like –
wasn't that an ACL?
I think it was, I don't know if it was an ACL.
For the whole year.
But I remember it was like okay, it's going to be 2 months, but he'll be back. And then it was like, actually, like, it's going to be a little bit long. Actually, it's going to be a little long. Like, look, we're far and away from that. Like, obviously, we have to see if he ever gets in the court. But I just, when you have these early injuries, and hey, look, it's worked out well for Blake Griffin. The guy's having an unbelievable career, albeit it hasn't led to rings. But he's definitely, you know, one of the premier front court guys. So I just worry that this sort of lingers, that I hope they don't get too cautious. But look, you're playing the defending champs. It's going to be a fun game. I mean, I'm excited to see the Raptors get back out there. You don't have Kawhi anymore, but they still got great guys to watch.
They have Pascal Siakam on a new four-year, $140 million contract.
Nice and fresh.
Such a good deal. Way to lock down that bag, Pat.
I was going to say, it's such a hard thing for me to wrap my head around contracts because they're so inflated. But I guess they're not inflated. This is just the new market where Damian Lillard deserves $50 million
exactly.
a year. And then if Damian Lillard deserves $50 million a year, I guess Bradley Beal getting $30 a year or $35 a year.
But it is a player option, so what we see, this deal's not going to live out to its maturity. He's not going to take that player option, and he's poised to become the highest paid player of all time.
And Bradley like Beal. After Kawhi.
Lillard, you mean?
Bradley Beal, because in 2 years, he's foregoing 2020.
But why does he deserve that? Not to get too
off
track.
Did you watch the
first
finals?
First of all, he's a
after
cornerstone.
After Kawhi Leonard, I think he was the best player in the series
He was awesome.
Oh, wait. Who are we talking about? You said Bradley Beal.
Yeah, we're talking.
We're talking about Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not talking about Pascal
Siakam. I thought you said Piazza.
No, I watched that series, and Pascal Siakam has a chance.
Another series.
That being said, it's a very small sample size and to whatever. But Bradley Beal.
I think when you could lock down a 25-point score, you got no John Wall. John Wall's getting old. Wizards have nothing. It's the rebuilding process. Lock down a guy that he's 26, and the guy gets buckets. So lock him down. Pay the man. You see what's happening in Sacramento with Buddy Hield. I mean, you don't want.
And there are a lot of teams that express interest.
Exactly.
It keeps
exactly.
them there.
But yeah, back to the Raptors. I have the I know it's at -7.
Yeah,
including
the spread.
And as we know, basketball's so tough. I mean,
so tough.
Just like the way points are scored.
Free throws. The Raptors could be up one and win by 9 with 1 minute
left. Exactly.
Literally.
I'm going to take the Raptors -7. I think no Zion. I think just the new faces on the Pelicans. It takes time to gel. Yes, no Kawhi, but this is still a team of veterans with Lowry, who got a fucking huge one-year extension as well. You got Marc Gasol. You still went out and got Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Stanley Johnson, two Zona boys. I mean, you know, it's filling the Kawhi Leonard void by committee. So it's Pascal, it's Stanley Johnson, Norman Powell, Rondae. I like the Raptors.
I like the Pelicans. I think that Zion is a huge piece, and I do agree with you that if Zion is not healthy, I don't necessarily see them making the playoffs in the West. It's very, very hard. But that team has a lot of guys with so much to prove. Lonzo has looked good. Ingram has looked good. I just think that...
And they got other good young rookies. They got our boy Sideshow Jax, Jackson Hayes, and an Alexander Walker.
Out of Virginia Tech.
And another
absolute stuff.
And he'll be in his home country.
Game one, they're going to come out and beat the defending champs
I don't think that they're going to beat them. I do think that they're going to cover, though. I think this is going to stay a close game. Yep. And
it's also jitters for everyone. You know,
yeah, ring night can go one of two ways.
Warriors
like,
lost
it's always,
last year to the Rockets.
Yeah, it's like you hope that, or you'd hope that you can carry the momentum in, but sometimes you're kind of living in last year.
It's
and
really
going to
really suck for all those Raptor fans, and they play the championship season montage, and it's 90% Kawhi Leonard.
It's all Kawhi. Danny Green.
It's all Kawhi. Oh, yeah, Danny Green.
Can we talk about the Showtime game,
Danny Green now is a Laker. Lakers at the Clippers. Obviously, this game is being played in Staples, so it doesn't really matter who the home team is.
Do you think they just for one night make the Clippers like locker room the away locker room? Or does it still say Clippers locker room?
By the way, that is a great question.
Like, does it say Clippers or away team? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, do they call it the
what?
Or is it like a third locker room?
And the Laker locker room is
because the Lakers are technically home.
I like that. Make a third locker room so like the Clippers have their shit. They don't need to move it.
They really
like,
should. And
maybe
I wonder
they do.
If they, maybe
we should look into this.
Maybe they do.
Ballmer definitely doesn't accept like being
No, second fiddle at all. Yeah, exactly. No way.
Although they are.
By the way, Lakers are a 2-point favorite. Of course, this is being played in Staples, but those
because they have the home court advantage. I mean, come on.
Laker time.
No, but I'm saying it's still going to be Clipper season ticket holders. Obviously, more Clipper fans.
I think it's just always a Laker town. I mean, it can
like
be,
does it, Nicholson get his same courtside seat for this game?
Or does he have to move over for
Billy Crystal? I mean, like, I don't know.
If he wants to, he will.
They'll get it. I still think it's. These are the two best teams in the league. Like, you could argue these are the two best teams in the league.
With the Vegas two biggest offseason acquisitions.
And I just think it's going to be a pretty 50-50 crowd. It's in L.A. I mean, maybe you want to take it from here, Vic. I know you're a big Laker fan. But there's no Paul George. I just think right now Lakers are healthier. I think the Clippers finish the year with a better seed. But I think, you know, as I kind of said with the Pelicans, just a lot of new faces. On the Clippers, I mean, their best player is brand new, and they're missing Paul George. So I have the Lakers winning this.
I mean, I'm just so excited to see Kawhi Leonard with his third team, I mean, in as many years. This is kind of wild that you've a two-time finals MVP with two different teams. The guy just brings so much experience. You know, you saw footage of that open practice they had the other day. People are freaking excited about this team, and as they should be. And I actually somehow think the Lakers come out, like, not with a dud, but I think the Clippers somehow win this late. Like, maybe Lou Williams has, like, 40 points.
Fucking hope
like,
so.
Like, something crazy. So I'm rooting for the Clippers in this one. I'm excited to see Kawhi Leonard. I mean, they're so excited, Clipper fans. They've had some good teams over the past few years. They've done it without superstars. Now they've got two of them. One's not ready just yet, but, I mean, these fans are going to be so freaking excited. And I think the whole team is going to do better. That's what Kawhi Leonard does. He makes other players better around him. Two different teams, two different – I can't say enough. It's such a remarkable accomplishment. Maybe gets it done this year. I mean, that would be so special, but he starts with the first game.
Yeah, we don't want to get
– Rome wasn't built in one day.
Well, I mean, if he wins a third championship with a third team, and that's not – I want to get into me talking about who I think is going to win, but if he wins that, I think that he's probably the greatest player of all time. Three teams, three chips before the age of 28 is a big accomplishment. But I have the Lakers winning this first game. The Lakers took preseason far more seriously, I think, than other teams. They played all their guys a lot, and they developed some nice chemistry. And from what I saw out of Dwight Howard, if Dwight Howard is Dwight Howard of the preseason, they have such a serious advantage, both offensively and defensively, in their front court over the Clippers, because Harrell coming off the bench, I know he's good. He's not Anthony Davis. And then the center for
Zubats.
Former
Laker, revenge man.
Zubats, yeah. So
what is Zubats' record?
Everyone's a former Laker.
Everyone has played on both of these teams. It's hilarious. Like, if you count it, like Lou Williams, both teams. Like Zubats, both teams. There's Michael Beasley at a point. But you keep going with you. But
you're digging there with Beasley.
Did the Lakers play the Warriors every – is that what happened?
They played them twice.
No,
in the preseason.
More. Like, I literally think that they just...
You think it was more than
but
twice?
It sounds like you watched more preseason ball.
I watch a good amount of preseason ball, and just what I saw from LeBron being able to throw lobs to two guys that nobody can stop the lob to Anthony Davis, nobody can stop the lob to Dwight Howard. They can both jump out of the gym and are 7 feet tall. And then when he doesn't want to do that, he slings it to the corner to Danny Green for three. This is a perfect LeBron team, and I think that they're just going to win this game and have a...
Yeah, they're going to have a great year.
A great year.
Teams will.
Moving on to football, college football, week 8, Wisconsin. My God, that was just...
Down go the Badgers.
That was just a dud. A dud
and
of all
who
sorts.
Who else? I mean, Illinois.
Lovie Smith and the boys. The Biting Illini.
You got to love that.
So funny. But
I totally forgot the game was even on. It was like a 12 p.m.
Yeah,
I wish it was funny. It's really just like...
Well,
it's
funny because after Lovie Smith in his press conference, like this beard that he's got, he looks like Papa Smurf. It's hilarious.
Were they top six?
They were ranked six.
Yeah, they were six.
They are going to go from six
to 13 out of
the top 25 by next week, in my opinion.
This destroyed
their season.
Out of the top 25. They said out of the top 10. I'm like,
no, out of the top 25 by next week.
Because what? They're going to lose to Ohio State. Yeah.
I mean, it's just this was a.
That
this,
doesn't bump you out of the this, top 25.
You got it. You got to bounce
two
back.
Two losses kind of kill you. And you do need to not get crushed by them. And they are. able to crush people. Bama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU all roll. Do we think that Wisconsin's playoff hopes are still alive? I sort of jumped the gun by saying that I don't think so, but do you guys feel at all that Wisco still has a shot?
If they can somehow win next weekend, sure. Eh? Anything's possible. They do eventually have to play the Nittany Lions, which is going to be – I mean, hey, look, the Big Ten, we've really, you know, recognized after the SEC, it's the talk has been the Big Ten.
The Big Ten even has more quality,
right. I think if they somehow win, like maybe, like, obviously, because then they would have to win the Big Ten Championship.
I have to interrupt this broadcast so quickly because you know that we are recording on Sundays in the middle of NFL football, and I need to share what just happened. The Chargers, somehow, they were down 10 with 1 minute left.
Yeah.
They scored a touchdown, got the ball back, were down 3. First and goal from the 1 with 20 seconds left. Ran the ball, stopped by the Titans, fumbled. And the Titans hold on to beat the Chargers. I needed to say that because I have the Titans in Survivor,
nice.
And I'm bugging out. And that was crazy.
Wow.
You had so many layups today. Why would you do that?
I thought they were locked.
The Packers, you could have.
Sorry.
Let's
moving
the
back in. So that's...
Thanks for the news alert. Next time, ring the siren. Yeah.
Now back to you, Bob.
Okay. Let's channel our Big Ten caps again.
Yeah, they would
on
have
your
to
point,
win.
Though, to that point, I guess the silver lining here is that when you're in the Big Ten, you're really not out of it unless you have 2 losses. So kind of like Michigan this weekend, like if they would have gone into Happy Valley and beaten them in the whiteout,
right.
You know, you're back in the discussion. So I think, yes, Wisconsin, their hopes are still alive. You got to go into Ohio State and take care of business. And then I don't know where they're playing Penn State, but you got to beat Penn State.
I think that one might be on the road.
It's 2 and you're done. You get 2 strikes in the Big Ten. That's my point.
I personally think that Wisconsin is done. I think that Ohio State, I mentioned this once, and you guys called me crazy because Alabama or Clemson, quote unquote, needs to be, that's the second time I've said that, needs to be 1 or 2.
This was also after week 4, though.
Great. Right. And I've seen what I have seen out of the Buckeyes the whole year, and I think that they are the best team in the nation. They are crushing everyone left and right.
They are who they're he great. Thought they
and,
were.
And I just don't think that Wisconsin stands a chance. They can't play offense nearly to the speed of Ohio State. Their defense has never looked better. Fields is a pro, and I just think that if they lose by a lot this week,
I think a loss and you're done. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? No. I think Jack Cohn is not Justin Fields. They're not going to beat Ohio State, but if they do, there you go. Right back in the discussion.
If they do, they're right.
You got to win out.
100%.
2 strikes and you're on the Big Ten.
Pac-12, Oregon and Utah. They're not playing this week, are they? Or they both had 2 big matchups last week.
More convincing than Oregon coming back against Washington.
But Oregon played in a that was a great, gritty
win. That
was
such a good game.
Good win.
Excellent.
We caught that, right? We were at Walker's down in Tribeca.
My boy, Herbert. Who you
went against? What were you playing last week? Reverse psychology?
I didn't go against him.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You said I'm taking the Huskies.
You're off his dick. You're on it.
What were you doing last week? Was that reverse psychology?
I actually think you did take the Huskies.
You did.
No, this is what I did.
You said they're just going to lose by three.
No, I said I think that Oregon will win, but that the Huskies will cover. And technically,
I mean,
I was
three
wrong.
Is.
You were.
I mean, not technically, you were wrong.
You're wrong. Every which way, you were wrong.
You were wrong. You went back on your boys, but your boys are they now inching into the? Is one of them 10? One of them's 11? Did they just each move up one?
Who's Wisconsin's out? Utah and Oregon.
Yeah, it's like Oregon 10, Utah's 11 now. I'm not sure. Either way, they're hovering, and it's kind of crazy that
Utah is 12, Oregon is 11.
So we got two Pac-12 teams you're not used to seeing. Well, Oregon did make the national championship. That was like 6 years ago, or 10 years ago against the Cam Newton-led Auburn Tigers. That was down the back. But I mean, Pac-12 football, it's real. I think before the season,
Arizona State is
right,
in the top 25.
Before the season, when you had that week 0 match in Arizona, we were like sort of laughing, like, who the hell is the Pac-12? Who the hell is the Pac-12? Now it's like, you got to be afraid of these guys. I mean, Utah just held Arizona State to 3 points.
Herm Edwards, I know that Arizona State, did they lose this week?
They lost to Utah, 21-3.
Okay, so they're outside of the 25.
No, they're 24.
Yeah, they're 24. They didn't get all the way out.
They should have dropped more.
But coming into these games, you had four Pac-12 teams ranked.
But I'm saying I really think that Herm Edwards completely changed the culture of the Pac-12 in general by going to Arizona State and saying, we are going to build a defensive-first football team. This conference deserves some recognition. I think that we too often are still thinking of these as like high-powered, right. Like just offense.
Well, the problem's always been in the playoffs. They get there and it's sort of – I remember Alabama played Washington 2 years ago. It was like 28-7. Like, dude, like, come on.
That was also Browning.
Right. Like,
these are different quarterbacks.
They'll definitely have to win. I think the respect's there, and I'll let you go. But, like, I think it's there, but they have to get it done. Because until they get it done, you're still going to have your doubters, you say. SEC, Big Ten, ACC.
100%. And we saw that in week one. I'm not as sold on the Pac-12 as much as you guys are. I still think I need to see that convincing win. And Oregon over Auburn definitely would have done that. But I don't even know that if Oregon or Utah win out, that they're a shoo-in for the playoffs. I mean, I think chips need to fall in a certain way where the Pac-12 gets a team in. They're not the Big Ten. They're not the SEC. Last time I checked, Clemson's still in the ACC. So that's a team. I was just
going to say, like, it just sucks that they're in the ACC because is this the most unimpressive 7-0 team or 7-0 Clemson team that we've ever seen?
I don't know. I don't know if this is like the honeymoon of Trevor Lawrence, where like last year we were all like, fucking Trevor Lawrence is the best thing ever. And now he's kind of like, he's not mailing it in, but he's very like pedestrian, throwing two interceptions to start the game. That's not what you expect out of coming into the year. He was like the number. He was the Heisman favorite.
Yeah, right. Now he's like, I think last year he was plus 7,000. He's got to be like 9,000 at this point. I don't know. Is it the most unimpressive team? I'm not sure.
No,
a lot of these guys were on the title team from last year, as I'm concerned.
I'm sorry. I meant most unimpressive 7-0. Like, these guys are ranked third. They're not losing, but they're certainly
coming close. They
don't look good. Well, no. I mean, you know, what they won this week? What was it, 38-10?
They're what?
I think they're four now.
Yeah, they're four, by the way. Like, and they deserve to be four.
No, I agree.
Or lower.
Because it comes down to the...
If you have a shit schedule, you better beat up on these guys. Like, they're... They should have lost to North Carolina. That was a
shoulda, coulda, woulda. They got it done.
Yeah. No, they got it done. But these are squeaking by.
The thing is, they got Dabo Sweeney leading the charge. They got Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, Travis Etienne, and then they got that kid Ross at wide receiver. They got so much talent.
And then front seven, it's crazy. I mean, the battle in the trenches.
They're like that. That is Clemson. It's them and Bama. I mean, you know, they don't need to.
And it's been that way for
just get to the college football.
How many times have we seen it? Four times they played in the title game.
Yeah,
could it be five now? I mean, this is.
I don't think so. I think we've all been saying that. You know, we like LSU. You're especially high on Ohio State. Oklahoma's still around.
And at the end of the day, they're 7-0.
They are 7-0. Of the wins this past week amongst the top 25, who would you say was most impressive and deserved to move up, and whether they did or not? Does that question make sense? It was a little jump.
What's an impressive win you think like deserved
you to move up in the rankings?
Wow, just saw that the Broncos lost, so Smurf Turf pride is done. to your question, you know, I'm going to throw a couple out there. I'm sorry to steal anybody's thunder, but that Baylor win was really impressive. I think we all thought that was a chance for Oklahoma State to really make a statement.
I like that you brought that up quickly, not to cut you off, but that game had Oklahoma State written all over
it. We all said so.
Especially from a Vegas perspective. That line climbed and climbed and climbed and finished at Oklahoma State -5.5 when nobody was betting them. That was the quote-unquote sharp game of the week. And Baylor fucking smoked them.
Smacked
them. So clearly everyone's underrating this Baylor team.
They're good.
And yeah, continue.
They're good. And they're going to get a chance at Oklahoma.
The Sooners.
Yeah, so that's a game I'm looking forward to. And another win, we did discuss it, so I'll just reiterate. I thought that Oregon win, I mean, they were down like 12, right? It was like a weird, I think they were down 12. And they just came back. And even just watching it, I felt like, I knew Herbert was going to come down and lead this charge and take that game in Washington. Really hostile environment, but I'm impressed by Oregon. I'm impressed by Herbert. And we'll see what they could do next week against Washington State.
I'm going to make a kind of a weird call. This is a team that we haven't really discussed yet on this podcast that I think deserves some recognition. And that is the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
I knew you were going to say that.
Did you?
I did.
At 7-0. Not that they shouldn't have destroyed Rutgers, which they did.
Who hasn't?
No, everybody has. But this team is 7-0. Their defense looks really, really good. And I think that if in 2 weeks...
PJ Fleck.
They have Golden... The Golden Gophers have Penn State at home in 2 weeks. Golden Gophers are home.
Can we get out to the Twin Cities? Yeah, I mean,
I would love to go. We could try and go to that game.
We got any Gophers listeners out here?
If Minnesota can somehow beat Penn State at home, and when you're a good defensive team and you're playing at home, anything can happen.
What week is that? That's in 2 weeks, week 11?
That's in 2 weeks.
Well, I got the Irishman.
Oh, no, sorry. They have a bye, so it's week 12.
Oh, okay. So, well, I had the Irishman November 3rd, so.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, I agree. That defense is great, PJ. And did you see the story of the place?
Please share.
Is it called the placeholder? The guy that hold, beat cancer 4 times.
Oh, my God.
It was an awesome story. Wow. And yeah. PJ Fleck immediately turned to tears, as was everyone. Just a great story, and that team's really good.
Really good. The other team... I mean, we talk about this every week, but unless Mississippi State is just really not the same team that they were, it's still always a tough place to play. And LSU just keeps absolutely destroying teams and putting up points at a record pace for this program. Burrow, we'll get into Heisman talks in a minute, but Burrow had another 4 touchdowns, another 300-plus yard game. The defense held them to 13 points.
The efficiency.
And it's just – so LSU, deservingly so. Are they number one now?
No.
Oh, no, behind Alabama. They're two.
And that's what I was going to bring up. You know, Tua gets hurt. He's expected to miss – I think it's a week. He'll miss next week against Arkansas. Insert Slade Bolden. And look
– Insert Slade.
Exactly.
His first name is Slade?
Slade.
Wow.
I got Jack.
I wonder if
he's Slade.
Unless,
how do you spell Slade?
S-L-A-D-E.
Mm-hmm. What's his Hebrew name?
Salad. Salad.
Slade Bolden. He's actually a wide receiver. Sorry, he only threw one pass. The real guy is Mac Jones.
That sounds like a quarterback.
Slade Bolden came in through one pass, and it was complete for 6 yards, and it was a touchdown. So I think
I think six.
I think it was a trick play, probably. But look, I mean, look, when you lose your starting quarterback, and Tennessee has been really the laughingstock of the SEC the last 2 years.
But there are high hopes going.
They're high. There's always high hopes. But you still win 35-13. It just goes to show you that even when you lose a player like Tua, you're still able to just handle a team that is just really not that good. I hope he's okay. It's really just the ankle. They're saying 1 week not to worry about it. Another team, it's really just Utah. You know, I said it last week, their defense is unbelievable. I didn't think they'd hold. I was going to say the 3 points. I think I said something like 10 to 14. I'm really all on that Utes train, and I can't wait for that showdown we might get with them in Oregon in the Pac-12 championship.
They really bounced
come
back.
To December.
USC loss, remember that? We thought they were dead.
Yeah.
That was a terrible loss to USC, and Vic, to your point, they really...
It's a real good team.
They're good.
They look pretty damn good. I want to see how they look when they're sort of on the road, because when they're at home, they're pretty damn comfortable, but when you got to go into... they got to go into Washington in a couple of weeks. I mean, that Washington's going to be pissed off. You got to be looking at every team in your schedule. Just don't screw it up when you leave that state of Utah.
Also, mentioned them earlier in the podcast, but Ohio State absolutely dominated Northwestern.
Friday night.
3 points. Yeah. 52-3. I don't care who you're playing. Northwestern is known. This is a real program. This isn't like Miami.
fuck off.
This is a real program.
Fuck you. That really made me upset.
Just kidding.
This is the team that gave
a real program.
Wisconsin fits a couple weeks
Wisconsin.
Ago.
Yeah.
And they're going to get Wisconsin. They're going to get Penn State. They're going to get Michigan. Look, they're taking down the guys they got to take down. We always say, you know, this who's in your conference. And, well, technically, the Big Ten, you have a little bit of wiggle room. But,
so
you know,
Ohio State schedule is about
they got Wisconsin.
Up.
Huge.
And
that's what I was going to say. If they can somehow win these games and run the table there, I mean, so many good games are coming up.
State, and then the Thanksgiving weekend rivalry with Michigan in Ann Arbor. That's really what it's going to come down to. I mean, if I have to ask the question, can Harbaugh win a big game ever again?
Probably not.
I mean, do they get it done this weekend? Let's talk about those weekend games. Who we got?
No, before that, I...
Panda Watch.
Panda Watch. Day 5.
Jumping the gun. Actually, you want us to go there?
Yeah, Lin Ming. No, is it go, Ming, Lin Ming or Ming Wong, the panda?
Ling Meng, the panda. Panda Watch. But yeah, that's our Heisman call.
Yeah.
I was going to say, jump the gun a little. I want to talk a little bit about some Heisman watch here. Who was most impressive? It doesn't have to be just this week, actually. I'm going to open this up. Who is your Heisman front runner right now that you would like to highlight? Anybody want to?
I'm just going to go Joe Burrow, only because of the recent development. I feel like maybe they're resting to this week so he can be all systems go against LSU, because that will be not the season decider. We've seen Alabama get in with one loss before, but that will be the big game. And I just, he did it again, 25-32 for 330 yards and four touchdowns. The efficiency's there. The body of work is there for him. He's been just so damn impressive. And I can't wait to see what he does against an Alabama defense that usually goes all pro.
Yep.
I know Hurts delivered five touchdowns this week, threw for over 370 or something.
He was fueled by the carriage flipping over.
He was. That was hilarious.
Look at the roll.
Look at the roll. I don't.
That's what you learn in jiu-jitsu.
To me, it doesn't even matter. Other than the Texas win for Oklahoma, that resume isn't great. What Joe Burrow is doing to legitimate teams, this guy is the Heisman. He's taken an offense that last year was non-existent, and he's made this their number two. This is the scariest offense in the nation. Them and Ohio State. I still think LSU's offense is better. He's awesome, and the efficiency is off the charts. This is, I think, the least efficient game he's had yet, 25 of 32, 327 yards, four touchdowns. I don't need my quarterback to be running in the end zone every time. I mean, he's delivering. He's spreading the love. Four touchdowns. Guy's a stud.
To your point, it's all about who you are also going to play. So if it's today, if Heisman voting is today, I 100% give it to Joe Burrow. There is no question. I think that Oklahoma's schedule is far too weak coming down the stretch that even if they run the table, I don't think that Jalen Hurts can win it, simply because if Ohio State runs the table, for example, they're beating up on some unbelievable teams. And then Fields, to me, is neck and neck with Burrow, because Fields has had an unbelievable year. These are so many ifs. So I'm going to go with Joe Burrow today.
He'd have to set some crazy record.
Good call with Fields.
But it's not. It's,
but it, I don't have him win. I was going to say, it's, way to bring him up.
It's not even a record. It's if he. Sorry.
Who's like, he?
Fields. I want to quickly read.
He has one interception. It's absurd. Right. 22 touchdowns, one interception. He's efficient. He beats you both ways.
And if they play Wisconsin, they play Penn State, and they play Michigan, which you guys just said. If he beats all three of those, I think he should definitely be right there with Joe Burrow.
It's a big if.
It's a big if, 100%. Moving on to some spread pick'em coming up this week, week 9. It's a tasty one. Number 13, Wisconsin at Ohio State. Number 3, minus 14, noon start. Weird that this game is at noon.
Yeah.
It should be the night game.
Well, but I think what happened is, and we're going to talk about the other two showdowns going on. I think maybe, I don't really know, maybe there was no real way to move the games. I don't know. You have three top 25 matchups this week, so maybe that's the reason. I'm not sure either.
It should be a night game.
It's so they get as many people to tune in, maybe.
I have no idea. But I got Ohio State rolling. I think that they win by somewhere between 17, like over 17 points. I think it's, I was going to say between two touchdowns and a field goal, but that's not a real.
good luck with that. Way to give us a
right in the middle. Yeah. I think that they kill them and cover the spread.
You're super low on Wisconsin. Like, they were not good this week, but I just think what we've come to know of this Wisconsin defense, I don't think they're winning the game. I don't even know if the game's going to be that tight, but I don't think they just let the floodgates open. Ohio State's been scoring points just as well as anyone, you know, them and LSU. I know it's in Columbus, but I think Wisconsin covers. I think maybe it's, you know, backdoor, or I think they cover late.
Yeah, I think that actually noon start may help them. Maybe you know, kids are waking up hungover the next day. You don't make it to the stadium, to the
Wisconsin
horseshoe.
Party.
Maybe it's
right,
a night game. You know, the whole day's field around it. You probably have game day out there. You know, this week they're going to South Dakota State for the old North Dakota State South Dakota State matchup.
The Bison.
You'd figure game day would love to be there. So I think that sort of takes the edge off for them. We've seen how they stepped up against Michigan, even though Michigan hasn't been able to, even they have two impressive losses. It's to Wisconsin and Penn State this year. So, you know, they have played good competition. It seems to me like when they actually play the worst teams, it's when they sort of fall asleep at the wheel. And, you know, we saw the Northwestern 9-point win. We just saw them lose by one to Illinois. I think maybe the Illinois loss sort of pushed that aside. I'm going to say they cover this 14, and keep it close.
Moving on, number 9, Auburn at number 2, LSU. This is a serious game. LSU is an 11.5-point favorite. Vic, I don't even need to send this to you because I know that you're picking Auburn plus 11.5, so we can move to Jax.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know what's funny? Why? I did not expect this spread. I think the LSU-Florida one was kind of like that, but this, I don't really get it. You just came riding off Auburn because they lost game to the Gators, who look pretty damn good, who won a tough matchup down in South Carolina.
That was a good one.
The Cox, the Gamecocks.
Love it.
You gotta love when you just see some wearing a hat that just says Cox. Not Game Guy, just Cox.
Not even Go Cox.
And like they're proud to wear, like you know they bought that hat so that someone could have this conversation right here. So I think that double digit, come on, that's 11.5.
I got LSU. That's crazy. I think in LSU, Death Valley.
It's kind of like that Penn State Michigan line we just saw.
It is, but I just think it's going to be a really tough place to play, and I'm going back to Bo Nix, a freshman, true freshman. It's gonna be a really electric crowd down there.
I mean, how much gumbo is Coach O going to be eating?
God, he's going to come weighing like 30 pounds heavier. But the thing is, Auburn put up, a 50-burger this week, but I just think it's going to be tough to stay in line with what Joe Burrow is doing. They score the ball.
Can we cut down the food references? I'm getting so hungry.
LSU scores better than anyone. I don't think Bo Nix could keep up with that. I got LSU.
I have LSU by at least two touchdowns. I don't think that it's close.
You're not expecting a close weekend. Huh?
Not really. I think that there is some big separation between some of these teams from a talent level. I'm not saying that Auburn isn't good. I mean,
they were hovering top five. What was that, 2 weeks ago against Florida?
Shit changes, dude.
No, I know.
Living in the past, bro.
You're living in the 60s, man.
If they can lose 24-13 in Florida,
come on, we gained last week. You said they were top three.
Trask v. Burrow. Yeah. It's not even close.
Literally Florida on like ecstasy. They're just so much better.
They're so good. Is it ecstasy? Monsters. You mean steroids? On ecstasy, they're partying.
Ecstasy elevates the heart rate. It allows you to continuously move.
LSU on ecstasy, man.
You just sort of love grabbing everybody, which you got to do in football.
Yeah, a lot of Avicii, a lot of Tiesto.
LSU's on ecstasy, man. Those are mushrooms.
I've never done drugs.
No,
so,
never at all.
I mean, I smoke, right? I know what I'll be doing at 3:30. That's going to be a fun game to watch. I think it's going to be a lot.
That was a weird transition.
I know what I'll be doing at 3:30. I mean, it is Halloween weekend.
Is it?
I don't know. Here's my thing.
Halloween weekend is the weekend before Halloween because Halloween cannot be in November.
But I always go with the school of thought where if it's on a Thursday, you start your partying Thursday
It's an October holiday.
I know, but think about this. The 31st of October is closer to the weekend of November 1st because it's literally the next day.
I
always go with the weekend that's
closer. What about Thanksgiving always is too close? It's always in November.
Well, Thanksgiving is also always
Labor Day.
Those holidays?
Labor Day.
Let me give you my explanation. Those holidays, Thanksgiving, Labor Day, it's a day in the month. Halloween is just the date. Yeah. It's October 31st. Labor Day is the first Monday in September. Thanksgiving's the last Thursday in November. And Memorial Day is the last Monday in May. It theoretically always has to be in that month.
You will be the only person wearing a costume in November.
You'll be the only one.
On
ecstasy.
I mean, have you seen these streets? There are people dressing up as the Joker on a daily basis.
That's a scary thought.
By the way, I think that's the most important news we've delivered. That was the most important conversation we've had today.
Of course.
Everyone's like, fuck.
It's important. It's the weekend before.
I like that. I like your reason.
It has to be. Kids, it's not a November holiday.
You'll be on ecstasy the weekend after. We will.
Yes.
Sounds great.
Number eight, Notre Dame. And the number Irish. 19, Michigan. Michigan's -4. This game kind of
overrated
sucks.
Game.
I agree. This should not be the 7:30 game.
It's fucking annoying.
Ian Book and the Fighting Irish don't even deserve to be in college football because they don't play by the
pick
same
a
rules.
Pick a conference.
Yep, just pick a conference. And Michigan can't beat good teams. So why would I ever expect them to win? I don't care if you're at home. Notre Dame, number 8, ranked, good team. Harbaugh's 0-13 or something like that against ranked team. I'm taking Notre Dame plus 4 with confidence.
I agree. So
I actually will for once.
Don't do it.
I'm going to do it, and I'm doing it knowing it's going to lose. But I think somehow Michigan is – you've got to be ticked off. And I will tell you one thing. Their two losses this year are on the road. Outside of the Big House, this will be under the lights Saturday. Lord knows what those Michigan kids are going to be screaming at those Irish players when they take the field.
They're all Irish. The Irish players.
You know what? I just the more I talk about it, I can't do it. I'm gonna have to take Notre Dame plus four.
Cut it out.
I think the Irish will do it, but I won't. I'll put it to you this way. I won't be surprised if Michigan for once shows up, maybe because they haven't shown up, and maybe something's got to give. I will take the Irish plus 4, but I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Michigan come out and win this game by a touchdown or 10 points. I don't know, Notre Dame the week off, maybe it tense them up a little.
What the fuck are you picking?
I'm taking the Irish
plus
4.
Penn State number 6 at Michigan State. This spread might be smaller than most would expect. It's actually now down to 6.5.
Really?
Penn State is a 6.5-point favorite. I think that Penn State murders Michigan State. I think that this Michigan State team, who's that? What's their quarterback's name again?
Lewerke.
He is god-awful.
He's bad.
Can't move the ball, can't throw the ball. He just doesn't.
They don't score, and their defense is
not the same. It's just not the same.
Not even close.
We're used to them having like a just defensive culture that they can always play D, and I think that this spread is a little historical.
Yeah,
it's like,
low.
No, it's like thinking back, like, oh, maybe when they play these teams, it's closer.
And
like,
you know what it also might be? It also might be, hey, Wisconsin just lost, like, in Illinois, and that spread was, like, what, like 20?
31.
Right.
Oh,
so,
well,
like,
that makes me feel
so, I mean, maybe that affects them. I'm not really sure what else could go into this. Michigan State did have a week off, but I mean, look, you lost 38-0 to Wisconsin. You lost 34-10 to Ohio State. They shouldn't have even beaten Indiana the week before. They are lucky to even be in this position at. Are they 4-3, I believe it is?
You have Penn State, right?
I do have Penn State winning this one. I think the momentum, it's too much.
I don't care about the bye week. You don't change your identity in a bye week. You get healthy in a bye week. It doesn't matter because Lewerke's getting behind the center once again. Coach D'Antonio, he's not going to change the defense. It's worse than it's been in the past. I love what Franklin and the Nittany Lions have been doing. To me, it's them and Ohio State in the Big Ten. Give me Penn State minus 7.
You forgot to talk about someone. My boy.
Oh, Clifford.
Clifford.
Yep.
That guy just keeps on winning.
He's super efficient.
He's good. Never should have said that he was in the Heisman conversation. He's good.
High praise. And that was a dial back to the Michigan game, but that was just like a really great atmosphere. They Nittany Lions fans, Penn State fans, they show out.
Yeah,
State.
But we didn't even talk about that game, and maybe we could talk about it for 30 seconds because that spread was 7.5, and my God, was that bad beat.
Yeah.
That was a back
I thought it was
door.
Old. I thought it was
a good old-fashioned garbage time touchdown.
That was just...
That nobody cares about except the people with the tickets.
Except the people with
One
tickets.
More game for you guys. Jackrabbits Bison. Who you got? That's where game day
Jackrabbits.
Give me North Dakota Bison.
I'm going with the Jackrabbits only because the game is in South Dakota.
Yep. Give me the away.
I don't even
Carson Wentz. He's in North Dakota State.
I don't even know who I took. I don't know who those teams are. I don't know where they are.
You took a random animal.
I know nothing about my
decision. Add that to our list. South Dakota State Jackrabbits.
The Jackrabbits.
That is our non-Power 5 conference random mascot team of the week.
And that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
I'm Vic at VWeb.
And I'm Jack at Jack Not Jen.
Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Please remember to follow us on Instagram at The Schwitz. Request to join our Facebook group. It's called The Schwitzers Private Exclusive Speakeasy. It's really fun in there. With NBA season around the corner, we're really going to be diving deep into the NBA during this segment. And I think that it's... I don't know. You guys should just stay tuned.
Folks. It's here. Back.
We're here. So we've the NFL Schwitz on Thursdays. We got a lot of NBA and college on Tuesdays. Going to be a great end of the year. And thanks so much.
Go Knicks.